Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips. It's episode 273, and today our title is The Lord's Supper, Celebration or Soberness? Celebration or Soberness? Today is a response to a message from a friend based on one of my recent teaching tips about communion. So thank you, Govinda, for getting in touch. Thank you for your message. A lot of really good points in it. We can't cover all of them. Perhaps I'll come back to some of them in future videos, recordings like this, but really good thoughts and really good questions. So I'm going to pick out one thing to talk about today as a stimulus to discussion. I'd really like to know what everybody else thinks about this. So she asks this, or she makes this observation. It's been a long time as a church, where she is, that we've got down on our knees and focused on the cross. She's saying, you know, that's a practice she values. That thinking about the cross, perhaps getting down on one's knee, on knees together as a congregation, is valuable. She says, I feel the communion sometimes does not get the reverence it deserves. So how important is the Lord's Supper? Seems to me really important. The Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. We do see reference to it in the epistles, the church in the early days. But I have a provocative question to come back with. So my deliberately provocative question is communion meant to be a time of reverence? Is it meant to be a time of reverence? And if it is, what does that mean to make it a time of reverence? So I've been rereading and taking notes on a book, excellent book. Let me show you if you're watching the video. This book called Early Christian Worship, A Basic Introduction to Ideas and Practices, practiced by Paul Bradshaw. And he summarizes the shifts and the developments in the practice and theology of the early church over the first, particularly the first four centuries. I'm reading it as background to a couple of classes I'm teaching soon in the Athens Institute of Ministry for the UK and Ireland Christian Doctrines module unit that we're going to be doing. And please do sign up for that if you like. Email me if you want some more information, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, or go to the AIM UK and Ireland website. So that's the background to why I'm rereading the book. And having done that and made some notes on early Christian worship, let me pull out a couple of thoughts connected to your question, Govinda. So let me make a few points. Firstly, when we talk about reverence, what I would say is irreverence is definitely a problem. That's really a problem, isn't it? Paul makes that point loud and clear in 1 Corinthians 10, when he says in chapter 10, verse 21, 22, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in the Lord's table and the table of demons. So a lack of reverence is definitely a problem. Secondly, remembering Christ, which is what he told us to do, remember me. Remembering Christ means remembering his cross, certainly as part of what we remember, but that may not be all or even the dominant aspect of what we remember that we're meant to remember. In Luke 22:19, he said, as he took bread, Luke writing, as he took bread, he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. What was he doing with his body shortly? Well, letting it be nailed to a cross. So there's definitely a sense of connection between remembering Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. So that's for sure. Thirdly, the New Testament, interestingly, you know, you read through the Gospels, the Epistles, and so on, and it is quite interesting that the New Testament gives us no direction about silence at communion. I know some people like silence at communion. I have friends of mine who don't like a song while the bread and wine's going around. They prefer silence, or perhaps silence leading up to the Lord's Supper. And I'll come back to that point in a minute. But the point is, there's no direction in the New Testament in that regard. There's no teaching on it. There's no teaching as to whether mourning over our sin is a good idea. There's no even teaching about reflecting on our sins of the week before we take bread and wine. Now, certainly the warning to examine ourselves in 1 Corinthians 11:28 is healthy, but that examining ourselves is something to be done before coming to the assembly, not when you get there, not during the service. That's maybe done beforehand. Fourthly, the early church may have been influenced as much by the incident on the road to Emmaus in terms of how they took and dealt with the Lord's Supper as they were with what happened in the upper room. Jesus told his disciples to remember him, and the first two disciples to break bread with Jesus after his resurrection recognized, or you could say remembered, it was him when he broke the bread, Luke 24:35. And as Bradshaw puts it in his book, Sunday was not just the occasion for a commemoration of a past event, the resurrection, but the celebration of a present experience, communion with the risen Christ. So that the resurrected Christ breaking bread was remembered to them in doing that. And then they celebrated, not realizing what was happening exactly at the time, but then when they went back to see the other disciples, wow, we were eating with him. He was present with us. So there's something there. I'm not sure that's a reverence thing. Maybe it is, but it's certainly not a mourning or silence thing. But Christ is with us is something to be celebrated. And fifthly, and finally, the early church was eschatologically expectant. So the Lord's Day was the eighth day, right? Sunday being the eighth day of the week, you could say. The day of the Lord, the messianic age, the lead up to the great banquet. And the church came together in expectation of Jesus' return and the full establishment of the kingdom. The Lord's Supper gathered the people of God around the table to celebrate that imminent reality and strengthen hearts in the time of waiting for it to become a reality. And for this reason, in the early church writers, not, you don't see that in the New Testament, but the early church writers forbid kneeling on a Sunday at church. They forbid fasting on a Sunday. And they forbid it. They say, no, it's not appropriate to kneel. It's not appropriate to fast because it's the eighth day. We're celebrating the fact that Christ is coming soon. So celebration was the tone. So to wrap up, so when we gather as a Christian community, it can, on the right occasion, be healthy to spend some time in reflection and soberness and even mourning and lamenting. There are times for that as a congregation, but whether that should be specifically tied to the communion is another question entirely. There's no teaching that specifies this. The common practices around the idea of being sober at communion are tradition. They are not biblical command nor precedent. That doesn't in themselves make it wrong to practice such things, but they're a choice, not a matter of obedience or even, frankly, best practice. Jesus constituted a new covenant in his blood, and a new covenant is not a cause for mourning, but a cause for rejoicing. Soberness is not ruled out, but if the Lord's Supper is not a time of celebration, I think we're missing something vital to our spiritual health. The Lord's Supper is one of the most important practices in which we participate as a Christian community, but the number of specific Bible verses on the topic is quite few. So what do you make of that? Why don't we have more? And of what we do have, what do you think is most significant for setting the tone, for the overall tone of the Lord's Supper, but also the practices that we engage in, and perhaps the ones that we don't? So please add your comments on this week's topic. I'll leave them publicly where we can all see them so that we can learn from each other, because we learn best when we're learning in community. And if you, like Govinda, have a question, then please send it my way. Govinda, if I have time, I'll get on to some of your other points, which were excellent when I have a time. Do you have any questions about the Bible? Drop me a line, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. If you'd like a free copy of my ebook on spiritual disciplines, How God Grows His People, sign up for my newsletter at the website, malcolmcox.org, and I will send it to you hot foot. If you know anybody else that might benefit from these recordings, do please pass the link on. Subscribe, hit that notification button, and I'd be grateful for that. And until the next time, keep calm and carry on teaching. Take care.